Welcome to the teaching ministry of Jubilee Church International. Jubilee is devoted to making disciples, winning the lost to Christ, building strong families, and taking the gospel to the nations. Open your Bibles and join us as the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us to grow a little deeper.
Sometimes life gets to going so fast. How many of you can think back when you were a child and life wasn't going as fast as it is now? I remember when Angie and I had our first child, we thought, it'll slow down. Because before we were even married, we were doing youth ministry, and man, life was so fast. And I mean, we were doing youth events, and if we weren't at work, we were at church working, and if we weren't working there, we were working on our home, and it was just always something. We thought, well, when we have that first child, life will slow down. Oh my gosh. It just got faster. Then we had the second, we thought, well, it'll slow down now. We'll have to slow down. No. And it hadn't slowed down yet. But sometimes you've just got to stop and remember that living life at the speed of light is in vain. If God is not the light that's leading you.
Amen.
If God is not the light that's leading you. Amen. And so, sometimes we've got to remember the things that God has done through our life. Or we tend to just live right past what God's doing. You know what I'm talking about? You tend to just be living life so fast that you just go right by some of the amazing things that God's trying to do in your life. But do you realize your life is a story? Your life is a story that's being written every day. How many of you have ever had thoughts coming so fast, faster than your mouth can speak them? And you get tongue-tied, or you say something that you wish you hadn't have said. Amen? And we live life like that sometimes. And remember, life is a story that God's writing. And many people, they live this story and they're writing their own story. And they've got the pen and they're determining what's happening in this story. I'm telling you, the day I gave my life to Christ, I gave Him the pen. I let Him be the author.
Yes.
I let Him be the author. And let me tell you something. I realize the days that I am the author, and I can look back in the days that I was the author and I'm the one that said, God, I'm going to write this chapter today. Man, those weren't good days. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. God doesn't tear those chapters out of your book. How many of you can remember some hard times in your life? How many remember some trying times? How many remember some difficult times, yet you can look back and see that God was there or God brought you through?
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And see, that's why God doesn't have, He doesn't tear those chapters out of your story.
Right.
How many of you have some chapters of your story you wish you could tear out? Mm-hmm. You say, God, why are they still there? God keeps them in your story. So that they are markers of God moments. And see, that's why we often have to go through healing to let God take and heal those. It'd be just as easy for Him to rip those memories out. But that wouldn't help you grow. God wants to take those moments and those memories.
Yeah.
And even the most recent ones that may even still cause pain. Come on, anybody got some memories that still cause pain sometimes? Yeah, God wants to take those and heal those so that those portions of your story becomes testimonies of His goodness.
Amen. Yeah.
But those moments, rather than pain, they point to promise.
Yes.
They remind you of His faithfulness and His goodness, that when you were hurting, He was still loving you.
Yes, amen.
That it was His love that brought life and healing in your darkest hours. Through this journey of rediscovering the biblical discipleship, the true biblical discipleship as defined by Christ, we have come to understand Talmudim, Jesus' way. Talmudim, discipleship, Jesus' way. We have learned of Shiloh in the art and the value of asking questions. And now we come to the stage of Talmudim, of discipleship, the stage of Agadah. Everybody say Agadah. In fact, how many of you have sat through a Seder meal with us when we've done the Seder? There is actually, you can get books written of how to do a Seder, and there's a certain order that God gave. There's a process that God gave for the Seder meal. And how many of you know the Seder meal is a story? It's not just about eating. That's why after the Seder meal, we have a real meal. You know, with some fried chicken and stuff. Because the Seder meal isn't about you filling your belly. It's about God feeding your soul. And that's why the Seder meal has with it, it's called a Haggadah, or the story. And that's why the Seder meal is, it's a process of telling the story of how God chose a people. That from the beginning He created that He might make us in His likeness and image. That He wanted a family, sons and daughters, that turned from Him. And how God delivered them from their slavery and their bondage and their oppression. And He chose these people and He took them to make a bride out of them. Amen? To take a family, to take a bride, that He might produce sons and daughters that reciprocate that same love. It's a story. And that's what Agadah is. It's the next phase or stage of Talmudim discipleship. And Agadah means the art of telling the story. How many of you love good storytelling? I love to read, but I don't love to read fiction. When I read, I want something that's going to give me some meat, some facts, and it's going to cause me to dig into the Word of God. And I've got my pen and my highlighter. And I don't just read a book, sit down and just read a book. I study, I dig into it. I've got highlights all in it and notes all in the margins. And then I save that book as a reference. And so I never really cared to read fiction. But doing a lot of traveling here lately, John got me into listening to audio books, Christian fiction audio books. And I'm loving it. And I found that on the Arkansas Library System, you can get there's a lot of free Christian audio books. And I listened to one here just the other day about the Apostle Paul. It was really good stuff, you know, and enjoying that. Because we love to hear a good story, don't we? Amen. The life of a disciple of Christ is more than just living a good life, but living a life that leaves a legacy that is memorable. Let me ask you this. How will you be remembered generations from now? I recently attended a funeral of one of my uncles. That, man, I loved this. He was a good man. And I don't know who he was before I came along, but I'm telling you, the Frank Hamilton that I knew loved the Lord. And he focused on, that was his thing, family and God. He loved going to church and he loved gardening. I mean, this man could walk. He had to wear these braces and his feet no longer could bend. Okay? And he had arthritis and everything. But he'd get out there and he'd tend that garden. I mean, and he didn't plant no little garden, would he? Big garden. Arthritis, eating his fingers up, didn't matter. He was going to get out there and plant them watermelons. Amen. 300 watermelons. That's what kind of garden I'm talking about. And let me tell you something. But when I was in the guard, I was drilling in Prescott. Well, I drilled in Arkadelphia for a while, and then they moved me to Prescott. And it was a long drive. So what I would do is go down on Friday, and I would stay the night at my Uncle Frank's house. And my Uncle Frank would get me, and I didn't have to be at the armory in Arkadelphia or Prescott till, you know, like 7 in the morning. But my Uncle Frank got up at 3:30 and 4 o'clock every morning. And he would come and wake me up. Marvin, you come out here with me on the porch. And he'd make me come out there on the porch with him. And we'd sit out there in these chairs with a cup of coffee. And I'd listen to him go down his list and pray. He'd pray for every grandchild, every great-grandchild. Wow. He'd pray for all his children. He'd pray for his wife. He'd pray for me. He'd pray for my whole family. And he'd go down a whole list. And he'd sit there. And it didn't matter how, there were some mornings it was cold. And I'm sitting out there like, you know, shivering. And Uncle Frank was going down his list. And he'd say, Marvin, when he was done, this is what I do. Every morning. Every morning. Now, I'm telling you something. They didn't have much. They lived in a little trailer out in the woods in Camden. Didn't have a lot of things he could say. He was had a lot of wealth and possession. But let me tell you something. He had faith.
Amen.
Amen.
He had faith.
Amen.
So much because he could not read or write.
That's right. He never learned to read or write, so he had to memorize everything he knew about God. Worked in a factory, and they asked him, he worked there for years, and finally one day they said, how do you know how to do everything? You can't read the signs. When they discovered he couldn't read and write, they said, how do you? He said, I memorized everything. But he knew Scripture. He was faithful to go to church because he couldn't read and write. He had to depend on the preacher to tell him what the Word of God said. And he had to listen intently to memorize the things of God and write them on his heart because he couldn't read them for himself. Oh my God, some of you need to have such zeal for the things of God. Oh, that we had such zeal. But let me tell you something. I've done a many of funerals where I either wondered if they really even knew God or I had to question whether they knew God because they weren't living like they knew God. And I'll tell you, there's some hard funerals to do. But there's nothing like knowing that somebody knew and lived in the faithfulness and the goodness of God because their life reflected the faithfulness of God. Let me ask you something. Does your life reflect the faithfulness of God? So how will you be remembered generations from now? What will your story, when they tell your story, if they retell your story, will they tell your story? God forbid that I have lived a life so selfish that nobody even wants to tell my story.
Yeah.
Or that the only story that's a short story. Yeah, he lived for himself. Will they remember your accomplishments? Will they remember your personality, your failures, your corny jokes? Will they remember all your titles? Or will it be said of you that you most undoubtedly walked with God? Amen. I'm telling you, the most powerful, one of the most powerful stories in this scripture is this. It's a short story. Enoch walked with God and was no more, because God took him. Wow. Let that be your story. Wow. Will their first words be, he or she was indeed a man or woman of God? What will be your story? What will be your Agadah? When they tell your story, will it most memorably be one that reflects the glory of Jesus Christ? Agadah means the story. And Jesus, in his process of discipleship, told many stories. The Apostle Paul, as he preached, told stories. Peter, as he preached, told a story and the Holy Ghost fell. Paul, when he told the story, sometimes they came to God, they came to Christ. Sometimes the story revealed who God was while they were worshiping many other gods. Sometimes young men like Stephen told the story and they stoned him for it. But the stories that Jesus and Paul and these men told was not just any story. It wasn't fiction or fable or parable. It was the story of God Almighty and His love for us. Agadah means story in many contexts. There are all kinds of stories. There are fictional stories, historical stories. There are embellished stories of legend. There'll be some of those about me, legend. Yeah. Angie, I remember when I first started doing martial arts, I just wanted to exercise after I'd retired from the Army and just wanted to stay healthy and stay exercising and work on that whole sciatic nerve thing, you know. But I didn't want to get into all this, you know. I've studied all this mysticism and Hinduism and pantheism and existentialism. I didn't want any of that mess. All right, Hinduism, you name it. I said, I recognize all that. I ain't messing with no yin yang business, okay? So I found this Christian martial arts organization and got connected with that. And I said, you know, I'm not worried about progressing in the rank and all that. I just, you know, I'll be happy to stay a yellow belt. And Angie said, yeah, right. And the next thing I know, I was testing for black belt. And I thought, well, I told Angie, I said, that's it. I'm black belt. That's all I need. Just I achieve black belt. That's it. She said, no, you won't. So I went for my first Dan. And I said, well, that's it. That's all I need. And she said, no. Now, so sooner or later, yeah, I decided, yeah, I really would like to make master. When you make fifth degree, you're called a master. And she says to me, all you want is to be called master pastor. You just want to confuse the kids. But it's not about the titles or the achievements. It's about God is using. Amen. God uses that to reach lives. We got many lives being touched. Amen. And so there's all kinds of stories. Agadah, there are parables. Jesus used parables. There are fables. There are testimonies. And in some cases, they're just outright lies. Like some fishing stories I know. Amen. Anybody here like to fish? You know, you caught that fish and he was this big. And the second time you told the story, he was this big. The third time you told somebody he was this big, and pretty soon he's this big. I mean, he just keeps growing. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Oh, really? Is that what God said? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I know Jason's back there doing the words, and I didn't write these scriptures down, Jason, so you just have to work with me. But if you look in Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Is that what God said? Look back down in verse chapter 3 again. What did he say? The serpent said, did God actually say you shall not eat? He caused her to doubt, to question, didn't she? And then she did what? She changed the story. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it. Did the story change? Somewhere between the mouth of God and the ear of Eve, the story changed. The story changed. Look in Genesis chapter 3 now, in let's start with verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife and themselves from the presence, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Notice they're hiding in the very things that God created to bless them with. Isn't that interesting? But the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told you were naked? Who told you were naked? You know what God's doing? God's addressing the story. Adam and Eve have sinned against God by listening to the deceptive story of the Nakosh, the serpent, the deceiver, the iniquity. And Adam's response to God's question of where he was that they were hiding because they were naked. And God asked this question next. He says, who told you were naked? The word naked in the Hebrew there is erom, and it means utterly helpless. Notice here. God says, where are you, Adam? It's not that God didn't know where he was. Come on, when God asks you a question, it's not because he's lacking understanding or information. He knew where he was. What was God doing? Why did God ask a question? What we see here is Shiloh, the art of asking questions. God's intent for asking where Adam was to initiate conversation where Adam could repent. But Adam doesn't even address really the question. Adam focuses on something else. Where are you? I'm naked. Where are you? I'm naked. I'm helpless. And God says, who told you you were at Rome? Who told you you were helpless? Where are you, Adam? I'm helpless. Who told you you were helpless? In other words, here's what's happening. God is asking, who told you a different story than the one that I told you? Whose story have you come to believe about you that differs from the one I said about you? Whose story have you come to believe about you that differs from what I told you? I told you who you were. I told you who I am. And why are you here? I told you why you're here. I told you how you should live in my goodness. Who has told you another story? And let me tell you something, church. We're living in this very day right here. We are living at a time when there's another story being told to the church about the church, who the church is supposed to be, who what she's supposed to look like. There's another story being told about how we are called to live as Christians, and it does not line up with the story that my God told me.
Come on. Amen. That's right.
Who told you you can live in sin and still be living among the righteous and inherit the kingdom of God? Who told you that?
Come on, Pastor.
Who told you you can live in sexual perversion and God was okay with that? Who told you that? Me and Jason went to get a haircut yesterday. And this woman got to talking, and she was from Denver, Colorado. And she got to talking about, there was a man who was 92 years old, and he saw my Army hat. I have a black and gold Army hat that says Retired Army. And he was getting his hair cut, 92 years old, sweet man. And he looked across, and he saw me because I was waiting. And he saw black and gold, and he said, what are you doing with the Pittsburgh Steelers hat? And I said, well, no, sir, it's not a Steelers hat. Well, what is it? What is it? I said, it says Army. He says, well, what's that say on top? I said, retired. He said, well, I retired from the Army in 1947.
Wow.
I could teach you a thing or two, young man. I said, yes, sir, I bet you could.
Yeah.
And that started him telling some stories. And he said, you know, son, when I was 18 years old, what were you doing when you were 18? I said, well, I was going through boot camp, you know. He said, when I was 18, I was in Iwo Jima smelling burning bodies.
Oh my.
Right after the bomb. He said, you know, it didn't just leave a big hole. It exploded above the city, and the whole city was a hole. He said, I could smell the bodies. 18 years old. And he went on to tell stories. And I sat and listened. I told my son, listen, there's not many like him left.
That's true.
And here's a young man at 18 years old who sacrificed and put his life on the line in a war to fight communism and genocide.
Yeah.
And here we are voting it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Voting it in, putting them in our White House, killing our children, and now legalizing assisted suicide and everything else. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know why? Because we got generations who haven't heard the stories. They don't know what the smell of freedom smells like. And you smell the death after war, having fought for liberty. That you might worship, drive your cars. He told the stories. And then this other woman from Denver, she gets up and she comes over and gets to talking. And I made a comment about, here we are. This brother, this gentleman sacrificed his life as a young man to fight communism for our freedom, for our liberty. And here we are voting in socialism. Faster than we can. And she come and she said, well, you know, I'm a conservative, this and that. And she went on and she said, you know, I am pro-life. I'm against abortion and this and that. And she went down the list. And then she said she was from Denver, Colorado. And I said, oh, well. And I jokingly said, did you bring your own marijuana? And she said, well, you know, I think it's okay to smoke some marijuana. God made the marijuana. I said, you lost me there. I was with you up until you talking about God made marijuana to smoke. She said, well, it's in the Bible. God made, you know, there's a lot. I said, God made a lot of things, but he didn't make a view to eat and smoke and snort up your nose. He made the trees, but there's people out there trying to have sex with trees. That ain't right. I mean, that's the most, I told Jason, Daddy, I said, Jason, that's the craziest logic I've ever heard in my life. God makes the grass grow in the lawn. Go out there and eat it. Quit your job and just start and quit buying groceries and just start grazing like a dog or a goat. That's the craziest logic. Who told you this stupid stuff? This stuff about, well, God's already predetermined who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. That is a dangerous theology. You know what that tells me? That tells me I can go out here and just do whatever I want. I can live however I want. I can rape and pillage and steal, and God's good to go. It doesn't matter. So there is no moral restraint on me because God's already predetermined. That's that. Who told you this junk? And that's exactly what happened with Eve. Who told you? Who told you? You see, God's telling Adam, you have bought another story. A story that is not the truth, but a lie. God had created man and given him dominion over all the earth, didn't he? God created man and then he said, I give you dominion and authority over all that I've created. Do you know what Satan had a problem with? That right there. Yet now Adam perceived that he was utterly helpless and stripped of all dominion. Notice that. This is what's happening here. God creates Adam, puts man in the garden, gives him dominion and authority over everything. And suddenly, God comes into the garden and Adam says, I'm helpless. Where are you, Adam? I'm hiding because I am helpless. And God says, you're helpless. Who told you you're helpless? Did I not give you all dominion and authority over all things? And now you're hiding in the very thing I gave you dominion over? You're hiding? As if you're helpless. You've been stripped of all dominion and authority. Wow. He had surrendered to an authority lesser than God's. It's no different today. There are two stories you can choose from about who you are and how you then shall live. Your story is either found in the light of God's mercy or in the darkness of worldly compromise and rebellion. And finding the balance between the inherent value of Christian conduct and the divine purpose in living in righteousness reveals a sovereignty that defines the Christian life. How many of you know the Christian life was never meant to be simply a set of ideas and beliefs about God, but a holistic and fully comprehensive way of living to God? See, that's what we've done. We've taken Christianity and we have these beliefs about God, and we call that Christianity. That's not what Christ came to bring. How many of you didn't know when Jesus Christ came on the scene, they had all kinds of beliefs about God, but nobody was living to God. That's what traditions and ordinances and religious practice will do. It will puff you up with religious pride and all kinds of things. And you get all caught up in living a Christianity that's about God, but you have no relationship to God. And Christ came to show us how to live to God. The entire process and story of creation from the beginning is a love story, an agadah of the relationship between a holy God and the family He desired. How many know it's not I don't care what they may say, it is not a fictional novel. It's not a legendary fable, and it's not just a historical record. In fact, this woman, when she said, you know, I think it's okay to be a Christian and smoke marijuana. I said, well, I beg to disagree. And of course, she goes all off into this argument, all the arguments they give for, you know, medically smoking marijuana and all this stuff. And I said, well, I have resources in my congregation, a medical physician and a molecular biologist who have quite different information and present a different story. But she says, well, it's in the Bible. And I said, well, and I shared something from the Old Testament. And she said, well, now that's Old Testament. Well, you know, your justification that God created the marijuana, that's Old Testament too. Yeah. So you can't use Old Testament to defend your argument and then reject Old Testament when it doesn't line up with your theory. Right. See, it's not just a historical record, folks. The Word of God is alive and it's working even now in your life if you will let it. God is not finished writing your story. And let me tell you something. Some people, some theologies say, well, if you read Revelations, the book of Revelations, that's the end of the story. No, it's not. It's not the end of the story. Halakha. Halakha means the instruction or the law of God. And it was given to prepare men's hearts that God might present the rest of the story, the Agadah, in His redemptive plan. The Old Testament is God's opening chapters of His entire plan to build a family that included you and me. The story did not end there. How many of you are thankful that the story didn't end with the Old Testament? I mean, those are just the opening chapters of this entire story. The story didn't end there, and the New Testament is the continuation of that story. Some people try to separate the two. They're not two separate stories. How many of you know that? They're one story. The New Testament is the continuation of that story, where you and I are now allowed to enter through the redemptive work of Christ into the story. And the story is far from over. Look with me in Exodus 25, verse 16. Exodus 25, verse 16, God tells Moses and Aaron, "And you shall put into the ark the ark of the testimony. You shall put into the ark the testimony." Look what he says. "You shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you." What's he talking about? It's a bookmark. God's marking the story with instructions of relationship. He's talking about the law of God, the testimony. "You shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you." The word testimony is the Hebrew word eduth, and it means the evidence. Listen to this. The evidence of a witness. The law of God, that which is revealed of I am. What was in the ark? Piece of manna. What was a piece of manna? Why did God have them put a piece of manna in the ark of the covenant? It was a bookmark to remember this part of the story. That your children's children, that generations from now, when you go and you're bowing to pagan idols, remember who fed you. Remember manna that fell from heaven. You didn't bake it. You didn't make it. I provided. What else did he have in there that's part of the story? The rod of Aaron. Why did he have the rod of Aaron? It was a stick, a rod, a staff that God caused to bud, bloom, blossom, and bear fruit. From a dead stick, God caused it to bring forth life and bear fruit. Folks, that's part of the story. And we often miss that part of the story. Oh, well, there's the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the tabernacle, and they went and they couldn't go in, and only priests could go in and all that. Listen, there's a key part to this story, and it's that staff. Because that staff speaks of you who were dead to God. And God caused a seed to be planted into the earth in death and was raised in life, so that you too may bear the fruit of righteousness.
Amen.
And be called the children of God. That rod is a testimony about God's grace to you. It's part of the story. And you can't, sometimes we want to tell the story, we think we know the story, but we're missing some key details. The manna. God is your provider. God was caring and providing for you long before you ever could provide for yourself. God was faithful and good. God made a way to redeem you, though you were dead in your sin, to bring forth life. And what was the third thing God put in there? Third testimony God put in there. The Decalogue. The law of God. This is how you shall live in my presence. Don't let anybody tell you any other story. Don't let anybody deceive you with changes and additions to this story. Live this story. You see, it's the revelation of who God is. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus declares not only of His disciples then, but those who are His disciples even unto this day. Jesus is speaking to you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. A douth. This is the same Hebrew word we just read over here in Exodus. Translated from the Greek into the Hebrew, it's the same context. Jesus is saying, you now shall be my testimony. Your life shall be my testimony. Not the manna, not the rod of Aaron, and not those stone tablets. But all three of those, the faithfulness of God, your life shall testify of the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
The rod of Aaron, your life shall bear the fruit of righteousness through Christ Jesus from the seed that was put in the ground in death and risen in life. Your life shall bear the fruit. And the way of living, the law of God, of righteous, upright living in right relationship with God, your life shall now reflect that. Because from the beginning, God never intended to write His law on stone tablets. He wanted it written on your heart.
Amen. Yes.
He never wanted it to just be written on tablets that Moses and them carried around in a box. He wanted the law of God to be written on your heart, that it may bring forth the fruit of righteousness in your life. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, you will receive power, dunamis power, divine, supernatural power, when the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, when I breathe on you and quicken your spirit alive. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my eduth. You will be my testimony. My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to where? Even to the ends of the earth. That means everywhere. You know what it means, the ends of the earth? It means that you have more work to do for the kingdom of God, to spread this story, this Agadah, to live this Agadah until the whole earth has heard it. Amen. Till the whole earth has heard this story. That's what He's saying. See, your story is the testimony of the evidence of Christ in your life. This is why it's not enough to just be a Christian that just sits on a pew, sings a few songs, and then goes out and just lives your life. This is why Jesus came to make disciples. To be a follower of Jesus means to be a disciple. So the Agadah, the story of God, be evident in your life. Are you living a story that speaks volumes of the goodness of God, evidence that others will never forget? Are those around you encountering the most memorable story they will ever see told before their eyes? I'm telling you this morning, I'm encouraging you to seek every opportunity for God to add divine, memorable moments to your story. And if you are breathing the breath God put in you this morning, everybody go, if you're breathing here this morning, if you're not breathing, somebody get him up here and let's pray for him. Amen. But if you're breathing the very breath God put in you, your story is not over. Your story is not over. The only time your story ends is when you take your last last breath. And then, if you have lived the story that God ordained, that God, if God was the author of your story, then even when you die, your story doesn't end. When you take your last breath, your story will not end if He was the author. Listen, even in his trials, the Apostle Paul let God write the story that would be told for generations. Even in the midst of persecution, the early church let God write the stories that build our faith even to this day. Never forget that even on your worst day, Greg, nothing has changed about God Almighty.
Amen.
Let Him make your story memorable for generations to come, that they too may hold firm to the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, Tori, if you will. Come on, if you will, stand with me this morning. God is not finished writing your story. And maybe in your story there's some chapters you wish were ripped out, but God wants to take those, even those chapters, and turn them into testimony. He wants to take, he's the God who takes trials and turns them into testimonies. He takes tests and turn them into testimonies. He'll take your hardship, He'll take your worst day, won't He, Greg? He'll take your worst day and turn it into a testimony that glorifies Him, if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. He'll take your pain, Bethany. He'll take it and turn it into a testimony. He's writing your story. If He's the author of your story. Now you can just hang on to your pain. Wallow in it. Your sorrows, your failures, your mistakes, whatever. You can wallow in it. You can hang on to it. You can let it define you. Or you can give it to God and let Him be the author of your story. Come on, if you will, just close your eyes with me this morning. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking You to awaken a new fire and a new zeal for the story of Christ and our salvation. God, that's where we've got to get back to. Lord, awaken a new fire for the story of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul and Peter and them told the story of Jesus Christ year after year after year, and city after city, to this people and that people, to all kinds of peoples, and the power of the story never died. And let me tell you something, the power in the story of Jesus Christ is still alive today. The power of a Savior who died and took on your sin, and you were separated from your Creator, your Father. You were fatherless. And He came and redeemed you. He paid a price that you could not pay. Listen, the blood of Jesus flowed down Calvary and it breaks every chain. It breaks off the oppression. It delivers. It sets free. It heals. And the power of that story is still alive today. It hasn't waned. It hasn't weakened with culture. It hasn't weakened with time. It's still the most powerful story ever told. Don't let it turn into a story of history and fiction and religion for you. It's not just a story of your religious collection. It's a story of salvation. God, come on, tell them this morning, God, restore the fire of the story of my salvation. God, remind us of where You brought us from. Whether you were bound in alcoholism, bound in sexual perversion, whatever it was, maybe you were from such a dysfunctional home and sexual abuse and all kinds. Let God turn it into testimony and remember where He brought you from. You were helpless, homeless, fatherless, hopeless. And He found you. He found you in the mess you were in. He found you in the pit of hell that you were living in. He found you in your depravity. And yet He loved you. Tell the story. Don't let your story die. Don't let your story die. Greg, God's brought you through so much. Don't let that story die. Tell it.
Amen.
Put it on a blog, whatever, but get your story out there of what God has done for you.
Amen.
And in your life.
Amen.
Right now, God, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, I believe God's activating the power of God to birth new testimony that will glorify His name. Come on, I believe right now God is birthing new testimony in some of you. I mean, God, and I'm not talking about you stepping out and letting God use you, that your testimony is being added to of the goodness and the power of God in your life. Lord God, increase our testimonies with many more who become witnesses of your saving grace and mercy. Come on, if you're with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, first of all, and you say, Pastor, I don't even know Jesus Christ. Come on, just raise your hand. God wants to touch your life today. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want God to increase my testimony. I want the power of God in my testimony like never before in my life. Not just the testimony of how He saved me, of the times He delivered me, the times He healed me, but Lord, the testimonies of what You've done in me. I was selfless and selfish and helpless, but You have made me a vessel of honor. You have used me. You have stirred up gifts and anointings. You've awakened something in me, God. Come on, you're here this morning. You say, I want God to awaken something inside of me, that I might be a living testimony. Come on, that's your prayer. Come on. I want you to come this morning. Come on. God wants to awaken. I believe this morning, God is activating the power of testimony in your life. God is activating the power of testimony in your life. You want God? Come on, God, awaken in me. Awaken in me a testimony. Come on, I believe right now God's activating testimony. God, right now in the name of Jesus, come on, Regina, in the name of Jesus, God, I activate the power of the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my testimony, says the Lord God. Come on, that word is yours today. Come on, say, it's mine, God.
It's mine, God.
You're talking about me.
Yes.
And I receive it this morning.
Yes, Lord God.
Come on, God, awaken testimony. Lord, awaken the power of testimony right now. To testify of your faithfulness and your goodness. Come on, I believe God right now is activating testimony. Come on, that means that God's about to release some things. There's some things, some doors about to be opened. There's some hindrances that are being broken right now. And God is activating testimony. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Jesus' name. Come on, Father, awaken. Awaken and activate that testimony. Come on, Father, I declare right now testimonies of things she has stood and believed for. Things she has declared prophetically. And Lord, right now, Lord God, I hear the Lord saying He's releasing a supernatural into the story. The supernatural story. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, activate that story. Activate the story, God, of the testimony of the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
Let the power of God be evident.
Yes.
And every word and every part of the story, God. Come on, Bridget, the story's not over. The story's not over. Come on, there's some twists, some turns, and I hear the Lord say sometimes it seems like there's some cliffhangers. I heard the Lord laugh. He just said, sometimes, daughter, that seems like there's some cliffhangers, but hang on. I got the rest of the story.
Do it, God.
Activate right now the rest of the story. Lord, that the testimony shall increase. Come on, I hear the Lord say, it's a powerful testimony, but it's not finished. There's more to every day, I'm adding to the testimony. Do it, God. Shandariyatarabasata. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you are my testimony, says the Lord. You are my testimony, says the Lord God. You are my testimony. My faithfulness is evident in thy heart. My faithfulness is evident in thy life and thy steadfastness. And the goodness of the story, it grows even richer and richer. And even in the face of adversity, even on the worst and the toughest seasons, says the Lord God, nothing has changed about my plan and my promise. My faithfulness is unwavering to you, O daughter. My faithfulness is unwavering to you. My covenant remains. Come on, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, He's going to put new power in your mouth to prophetically declare the testimony of the stories of even the days ahead. Even the days ahead. Even the days ahead. Speak to every need and declare the story of my faithfulness, even in the midst of every need, says the Lord. Come on, do it, God. Do it, God. Release the power of the Holy Ghost to activate that testimony, Father. Activate that testimony, God. Activate that testimony. Even into the lives of her siblings. Even into the days that shall be heavy. And when the days seem heavy and things seem unbearable sometimes, God says, remember the story. Don't forget the stories of the open windows. Don't forget the stories of the cattle on 1,000 hills. Or 1,000 cattle on any hill. However it is, I am provider. I am faithful and I am good. Remember the stories. Come on, tell the stories anew of watching and seeing the hand of God do miracles and signs and wonders. Let not the stories go by without being told into generations, says the Lord. That even thy own soul may remember the stories. Come on, the stories of old remind you of my faithfulness. That the story's not over, says the Lord. Though this life and the body may fail you, the story is not over because the pen's still in my hand. It was never in your hand. The pen is still in my hand and I'm still writing the story. There are miracles yet to happen. There are things to happen even in your family that I've yet to fulfill, and you will see them, says the Lord God. The story is far from over, says the Lord. Come on, do it, God. Activate the testimony of faith. Activate anew and afresh the fire and the testimony of faith, God, in Jesus' name. God, write the story. Activate testimony of thy faithfulness, of thy goodness. Come on, God, you're the author of the story. Come on, Ariel, hear the Lord say, let me. Let me not only write the story. Come on, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, let me write every chapter. Let me write every page. Don't turn the pages. Let me turn the pages. And I just see sometimes, I hear the Lord say, sometimes you look on the blank pages of tomorrow and you're afraid. And you're fearful and you want to fill in blanks. And you want to try to get ahead of me and fill in the story sometimes and fill in the... I'm building the plot, says the Lord. Let me... I know the plot of this story. Let me be the author, says the Lord. And I hear the Lord say, not only to write in the plot and the empty pages, trust me. Trust me with the chapters yet to come.
Amen.
Trust me with the chapters yet to come. And watch this, I hear the Lord say, Ariel, I hear the Lord say, don't forget to read the footnotes. Don't forget to read the footnotes. The footnotes are where I testify of my love and I show you my purpose and my intent for what's happened in the story. It's where I bring clarity to that which is happening in the story. Don't forget the footnotes. Read them. Take the time. The footnotes are times of intimacy and prayer and understanding and digging in my word. Don't settle for just a general understanding of me. Don't settle for just, I have enough of God in my life to just kind of muddle through. No, read the footnotes. Seek me like never before. Trust me with the chapters yet to come. God, activate, and you shall receive power as the Holy Ghost is upon you to be my testimony, to be my story, my story. It's not your story. It's my story. Don't ever make it your story. It's my story, says the Lord. Come on, I hear the Lord saying that for many of us. God says, when you make it your story, that's where the problem is. Come on, God says, it's my story. It's my story. And Kathy, there's a prophetic, I don't know if you see, but there's a prophetic thing God is doing in you, and it's only the beginning, because God's about to put the story, a prophetic story, in your mouth. The power of God. And I hear the Lord say, even this, come on, I guess it's Drew's daughter, God's fixing to touch her. God's fixing to touch her. Watch the story. Watch the story. It's almost going to... Come on, I just hear the Lord say sometimes it seems like there's parallel stories and you're trying to read three books at one time. God said, don't worry about other stories. You just worry about the story I'm writing in you, says the Lord God. Because your story shall touch and activate the story in others' lives. Your story is a catalyst, says the Lord God. Your story is a catalyst that shall open the quill and the ink to write in the books of others' lives. Come on, do it, God. Do it, God. I see you even in your private time, just you in, alone with God in your house, and you're singing prophetically. Come on, I hear the Lord say, practice prophetic psalmistry. Psalmistry. Practice it. Sing before me. Worship, because we're writing the story. And sometimes there are songs in the story. It's funny, I hear the Lord say, there are parts of your story that's going to be like a musical. It's just going to break forth in prophetic song. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Bethany, come here, Bethany. I hear the Lord saying right now, though it seems like a portion of the story is ended, the author hasn't changed. The author of your story hasn't changed. And though the enemy has thrown a twist into the plot, the author still knows the end from the beginning. The God who started your story, I hear the Lord say, the God who started your story is faithful to complete it.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
And even the painful chapters, God shall turn into testimony.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of His goodness.
Thank you, God.
To it, God. Activate prophetic story.
Yes.
Prophetic psalmistry that shall come forth in story of the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
Yes.
See, that song you sang, that new one this morning, it was testimony. You didn't just sing it as a new song. I watched as you were singing it as testimony. And God's going to put those very, not just songs from others, words from others' songs, but He's going to put them in your words, His words, your words in song. Do it, God. Do it. Activate the testimony. And you have received power. You have received power as the Holy Spirit is upon you. And you are my testimony. As Hosea was a testimony. As Naomi was a testimony. As Esther was a testimony. So you are a testimony. In Jesus' name. Do it, God. Do it, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm telling you this morning. You are a testimony. Come on, say it. Say it with me this morning. Say, I am a testimony. Hallelujah. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be His testimony, His Agadah, His Eduth, His story, His witness. Amen? And this is just the beginning. I believe this morning, and I'm speaking right now, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that if you will take this word this morning to heart, if you will take it to heart, that in the next 3 months, God is going to add to your testimony. God, you're going to have testimonies that don't even compare to the testimonies that of God, that what God has done in the past. That the increase, the power of the testimony is about to increase in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.